giving some closing thoughts to what you've heard tonight, and even to extend an invitation to those who are really chewing on what you've heard tonight. You know that it applies to you in some way. And if there's been anything tonight that's become clear to you, I hope it's this one thing, that Jesus Christ wants you to live. He wants you to live. And by live, I'm not talking about your physical body keeping on functioning and operating. You know, and of course, I hope that doesn't stop tonight. That would really put a damper on the evening, you know. I'm talking about when you just feel like you're dying inside. You ever been there? You just have things in your life, you feel like they're eating you alive. You know, the Bible says, actually, Jesus, this is a direct quote from Jesus. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And when he's talking about the thief there, he's talking about things that people follow and get caught up in thinking it's going to save them, thinking it's going to help them. You know, we heard Juan tonight share his testimony how for him, he was following after gang life. He was going after girls and respect in the streets. Camille was pursuing education and having a certain image that she thought would make her look good and make people find her acceptable. Emily was dealing with anger issues, and she thought, I'm going to drink to numb away the pain. And all of us get in a certain mode of operation where we have things that we just want to deal with, we've got to deal with, and when we're following something other than Jesus Christ, it eventually brings us to the point where we feel like we're crashing. Because all of them that shared tonight, every one of them, they had a common thread that ran through it. They eventually came to the point where they realized something's got to change. Something's got to give. What I'm pursuing can't save me. What I'm following can't truly help me. And it was when they called on Jesus, when they cried out to him, that was when life entered into their souls. And maybe there's some people here tonight, you're in the same place. You know you're crashing. You know that you're following things and engaging in things that it's making you realize something's got to give. Something's got to change because this can't be what life is supposed to be. This can't be what my life is meant to look like. You want to hear a really crazy, kind of silly analogy that really captures the confusion that enters the human heart? Remember when I was a kid, my dad brought home this big, gigantic moth. It looked like something out of a Godzilla movie. And he had put it on an index card and wrapped it in saran wrap. And I'm like 7 years old, so this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. It had the big, like, fake eyeballs on the wings like you see in your science book. It's a huge, huge moth. And I said, Dad, where did you get this? And he said, oh, this dumb bug just kept running into the light outside the building I was in, and it eventually killed itself. So I thought, well, Nick will like that. So he picked it up and he brought it home. This is what you do when you live in Pennsylvania, you know what I mean? So, and I remember one day, like literally just a couple of years ago, sitting in my office, and I, for some reason that memory came into my head. And I was like, okay, Google, why do moths follow lights? Why do they bump into lights? I'd never known that before. And, you know, the answer that I came across was very interesting. Anybody into, like, biology or anything in here? Okay, a few of you. All right, so don't kill my joy. I'm trying to sound smart. I have no knowledge of biology, like, whatsoever. God made everything. That's where my knowledge stops. So the prominent theory, we'll call it that, the prominent theory among scientists is that moths actually, in an environment where there's no artificial light, would fly in a straight line. The idea is that they're supposed to use the moon as a way to navigate. Do you ever notice that you're driving the car in one direction, the moon looks like it's following you? Anybody ever ask their parents in the car, why is the moon following us? I asked my parents that a couple times. And again, my father, being the genius man that he was, he would tell me, because I'm important, son. And I didn't, he really would. I didn't argue with him. I let him think that. Today I know better. It's a little more scientific. But he would say, because I'm important, son. And that generally satisfied us. And my mother would chime in with something more factual. But, you drive in the car, and it looks like the moon is following you. Well, look, that if you could be walking in a field, and if you just say, I'm going to walk, so the moon is always on my left, you're right. If you do that, you will pretty much walk in a straight line. And so the idea is that moths are meant to use the moon to navigate and fly in a straight line as they go through the fields and go through the woods. But what happens is when they get in environments where there are artificial lights, like what we have around here, they end up getting confused. Now, if I were to use the lamp right there by the projector, say, I'm going to walk so that light is always on my left, After I take a few steps, I have to start turning to keep it in my line of sight. And what would happen is I would eventually like have to walk in a circle almost. And so these moths, they're trying to find their way. They're trying to find their way, but they're getting confused by a false light. And what happens is they spiral closer and closer to it. And eventually what they thought they could trust is killing them. What they thought would guide them is killing them and taking their life away. And you know, you heard three people tonight stand up on this platform and be very honest about following the things that they thought would fulfill them. How hard they followed after what they thought they could trust, what they thought they would find help in, but it eventually brought them to the place where they knew this is sucking the life out of me. And I can't help but wonder if there's some people here tonight who are in the exact same place. Maybe it was okay when you first started into it, whatever lifestyle you started pursuing, whatever thoughts or intentions or pursuits you think, if I go after this, it'll be okay. And it's just sucking you dry. Like you're going through emotional bloodletting every day. And you just are realizing something's got to give. Listen, the answer tonight is that Jesus Christ loves you. And he died on the cross so that you could be forgiven of every wrong thing that you have ever done, so that you could be healed of every wrong thing ever done to you, and that you could be made into a brand new person. That is what Jesus came to do. And you can have the same kind of story, maybe not the same story, but the same kind of story as the people who are on this platform tonight, because what God did for them, he wants to do for you. There is not one person in this room that God loves more than another. You are all equally precious in his sight, every individual in here. And if you feel like you're crashing, if you just feel like you need a change, something has got to give, that's actually Jesus loving you. He's reaching out to you and he's trying to show you, I'm the only one who can give you life. I made you. I know what you need. If you come to me, I'm going to cause you to live. Sometimes it's the mercy of God that makes us get uncomfortable with our sin, that makes us get uncomfortable with the things that want to take our life away. He loves you, and he wants to give you a new start. He wants to give you a new mind, a new heart with new desires. This is what Jesus does in the lives of people. Last thought I want to leave with you, and I'm doing this mainly because Pastor David encouraged me to share it, and I just want to bring it before you tonight. You know, the Bible says that when a person commits their life to Jesus, when you acknowledge him as your God, and you ask for his forgiveness of your sins, the Bible says that God adopts you into his family. You become his child. He becomes your father. And there's a reason the Bible uses that. You know, I'm an adoptive father. I have one little boy named Noah. He's 2 years old. And my wife and I met him when he was half an hour old. And the moment we laid eyes on him, we fell head over heels in love. I cannot explain to you what happened in my heart in that moment. You can only experience it for yourself. It was something I can't put into words. I usually tell people when I'm sharing the story, all I can remember in the room was music. There was no music playing anywhere, but it's like it was such a beautiful, glorious memory when they brought him into that hospital room. It's like I remember it with this symphony playing in the background. And what's amazing is that little boy did not come from the union between me and my wife. He is not my flesh and blood. But the moment I laid eyes on him, none of that mattered. It didn't matter where he came from. It didn't matter whose union he was the product of. None of that mattered. The only thing that mattered was, this is my boy. This is my son. And the Bible says that is the way God looks at all those who come to him. Everyone who comes to him for salvation. That is how much he loves you. It's a deliberately powerful analogy, because it's one of the best ways that God could express to you how much you mean to him. So listen, wherever you are tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, Jesus Christ is the only answer. And you will not live until you come to know life in him. I'd like to invite all of us to stand. Everyone in the house, let's stand up, and I'd like our worship team to come back out again. We're gonna do something, because I want to pray for people tonight. And I'd like to ask how many, by a show of hands, if you could have the boldness to do this, because look, when you're desperate enough, you just stop caring. When you really need something, you just stop caring. When you're starving and you hear who wants bread, you will do whatever it takes to get it. So I'm looking for the desperate folks in this house tonight who know they need God. And even if it's Christians who are not where they should be, you know you are not where you should be. It's time to come home. How many of you, by show of hands, are just, you're in that place where I need that change. Something's got to give in my life. I need Jesus to do something with me. I need something to happen. All over this place, don't be shy. Because look, if that's you, and you need God to put his hand on your life and bring change your life, I want to ask you to do something radical, okay? And you're not going to be alone in this, and we're asking you to do this for a reason. We're not going to make you sign papers. We want to pray for you, and we want to help you. I'd like to ask, as the music begins to play, if you would just be willing to make your way out of your seat, I want you to come down here to the front. We call this the altar. This is simply because it's a place where we outwardly respond to God. This is where we come and we say, Lord, I want you to do in me what you want to do. You're God. You're in charge tonight. And whatever you want, I'm good with it. I'm saying yes to it. So just begin to make your way down here. If you're up in the balcony, we'll wait for you. Please come. Jesus loves you and wants to give you a new heart. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to heal you. We're going to worship for a few minutes. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to pray together. And we're going to believe God to do something miraculous in your heart tonight because he loves you passionately. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we come to you tonight, Father. And we pray for these who have come to the front of this room, oh God, to make a public declaration of their faith in you and of their acceptance of your love and of your sacrifice for them. God, I thank you that you will be faithful to your promise in your word, that when someone comes to you, you will not cast them off. Lord, you will not reject them. When somebody comes to you with a humble heart and knows that you are their only hope, you always embrace them. You always accept them, oh God. And I thank you that everyone here at the front of this altar, God, is being forgiven, is being cleansed from the inside of their hearts and minds, oh God. Lord, I pray that they would even feel it, Lord. Let them feel the dirt on their soul just wash away, God. Let them feel your love coming over their hearts right now, Lord. Let them feel your healing touch, not only forgiving them of what they have done, but healing them of what's been done to them. God, I pray that where there's anger, oh Lord, you would bring love and gentleness. God, where there has been lust, you would bring purity. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, where there's been addiction, you would bring freedom. Lord, where there has been self-harm and a desire to commit suicide, Lord, you would bring joy, oh Jesus. You would bring a sense of joy that comes from knowing that they have a purpose and a reason for living because they're loved by an almighty God who thought they were worth making, who thought they were worth creating, and even when they rejected him, still thought they were worth loving. God, thank you for the value that you put on every life at the front of this auditorium tonight. Thank you for how precious every one of them is to you, God. And thank you that they can expect incredible change to start taking place in their life because of this moment, Lord. Because of this moment, God, where they have accepted and embraced your love for them. Now, those of you that have come down to the front, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And basically, all this means is I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. And this is not because it's some kind of magical formula. Sometimes when you're new to this, it's like, okay, what do I do? What do I say? I just want to help you with that. Prayer is just talking to God. That's all that it is. And so as I pray, I just want you to repeat after me. You mean business with God. He's going to take you seriously, and he's going to answer you. So just pray after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I have followed other things, and they're killing me. I believe tonight that you alone can make me live. You can make me live in my heart. You can take the death out of my soul. And you can make me a new person. I ask that this night you would do that work in me. Do that miracle in me. Forgive me of my sin. Heal me of the sins that have been done against me. Set me free, Jesus. Change my thinking. Change my lifestyle. And let all of it give you glory. I'm yours now. and I thank you for loving me. And tonight, Jesus, I love you back. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.